like, verily, verily. He's getting wound up. Verily, verily, verily. Now, Gerhard Frost, who's talking with God tonight, or if there's night there, said it means go get him. Here we go. Go get him. 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 He also said once, when he wasn't watching himself, he says it means sick him. And when you have said a prayer and you say amen, then you have committed yourself to sick him. Sick him. Sick him. Sick him. Sick him. Sick him. Place off his reason. I never thought I'd do this. That's what Holden is somehow about. It's when you don't think you do it, then you go to Holden where you've done it. And then when you've done it, it's a memory and it gives you hope for the future. And when you can remember about five things you've done at Holden, then you go home, you don't do them on Main Street very soon. You really don't even do them in your home too quickly, unless the whole family was there. But it does give you hope for some of the corners and some of the niches that you find in your future. And some of us in this room have been nurtured, and our families have been nurtured by Holden all through the 60s and the 70s. And now we're glad, Lois and I are glad to be back in the 80s. And I never knew I'd meet Chris. We have a son named Chris, and he's coming in tomorrow. Tonight, my brother Chris is with me at my left side. And I saved a seat at my left side because he's my right brain. A lot of people think there's only one way to organize. Well, if you don't organize, they usually put you in a little white jacket and take you away. But until then, there are a lot of ways to organize. And I like to organize from a tiny thing on out. Like I like to take a little thing and give it a whirl. Just give it a whirl until finally you don't know if it's centrifugal or centripetal, or at least you know you're on a journey and it started just anywhere. I'm going to have Chris excite me on my right brain, and I'm just going to hold my right brain, okay, and let him take me somewhere, and I'll go, and then I'll tell you a story. With my mother now. That was my mother too. In the wash house in Nebraska, that's where I was. Yeah, that's still my mother. She's over here. I think this is one of the rooms that Jesus said that I'm going to prepare, and then when you want to remember, you don't have to go 5,000 or 5 million miles away. You could just go to your right brain, and you might find a little piece of heaven there. My mother. My father would never let me dance, but my mother gave me dancing lessons in the wash house. I don't think I ever told her that. In fact, I never thought about it until tonight, that my mother gave me dancing lessons when we used to wash clothes. You know how we would boil the water and then you'd soak it and then you'd stomp it. I never knew that wasn't fun. I never knew you could have a boring teacher. I went all through high school and college liking all my teachers. I didn't know there could be a teacher failure. I just thought what they didn't know you filled in. My mother gave me music lessons. Someday when I can afford to have time, I want to do what Chris is doing. But in the meantime, I just have to settle for what my mother did. She rocked me. She gave me 4/4 time, 2/3 time, 2/2 time, and 1 time. I don't know if that's how it breaks down. But I know she gave me rhythms. It's called back and forth. Well, and she was German, so it was hin and her. But you can transpose that. I'm primarily a transposer. I know a little, and I knew most of it when I was little. I've improvised on it a lot. I don't need a whole lot more. A whole lot more would only confuse me. I don't mind learning a few new things a day, but not many more. And usually what they are just new combinations of something I knew when I was very little. In the seminary, I almost failed a thing called paradox. Paradox, I took a whole course on it. For all I know, it was more than a course. It was kind of an experience. I had very much difficulty with paradoxes until I realized that I knew all about paradoxes when I was in the country school. It was called a teeter-totter. Someone got on one end and someone got on the other end. And when one end went up, the other one went down. It's called sin and grace and all other things that balance. Or look like they won't balance. Until you sit just right. And when you sit just right, then they're balancing. Sometimes it took two of us guys and Leanna on the other end. I don't know. It wasn't that Leanna was round, it was she was so tall. Or it wasn't that she was so tall, it was that we guys were so short in the country school. But it took two of us and one of Leanna, and then we had a paradox in balance. And once I got that straight in my mind, I had no trouble with that course the rest of my life. Well, at least the rest of the seminary. But when you get out of the seminary, then you have trouble again sometimes, because sometimes a paradox bends, and it isn't like a teeter-totter. It has to come around and meet itself, and you get a ribbon. You just tie a bow. I'm picturing, we all do, unless we flunked art. Poor art. Wonder who he is. Did you get an A in art? And I got a B minus in art. Well, they asked what I wanted to talk about tonight. I said I'd talk about the, and they announced it as the. And I didn't want to talk about the, I wanted to talk about the. The is another time. But the. I like this short, crisp. People very seldom see one. Especially with a rooster in it. Gives you a new mental image. Gives you a new mental image. But some of us can't see it, but no one sees everything anyway. I don't know why you're so happy today. You weren't happy this morning. You were asking serious questions in Bible study. You know, have you met my messianic rooster? That's my messianic rooster. We'll get to my messianic rooster some other night or day. We had a The Festival once here at Holden. It was so successful, I thought it would get into the Lutheran Book of Worship. It was a marvelous festival. I usually carry around a deck of words. in case I run out. Just put one word on a card. That's all you really need. Here's a nice one. Some night I'll do something called and. It's a great word. It keeps things going. But I like the word the. But I have to give that. May I? Yes, thank you. I had to ask Joseph if I could have the towel. Well, I didn't have to ask Joseph, but I did ask Joseph. And it may not be Joseph, but it's Joseph to me. So I found the word the, put it in swaddling cloth, and we rocked it. And we could sing Away in the Manger, could we not? You can find it there somewhere. I just heard it. Away in the manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Could you hum it? I like that. It's just like having rain when you're not ready for it. It's like, then one does have to say, what does this mean? It's like when your brother falls from a tree at Christmas and the whole community says, so what does this mean? You wouldn't believe, but I teach this way in the seminary. I've been teaching this way for 19 years, but the faculty doesn't know that I'm doing it. I teach at night. We get into spaces called negative space, like climb trees and sit in swings. And then we recite little verses like, unless you know the kingdom of heaven like a child, you'll probably not see it. Well, we don't say it like that. We're probably more accurate. But we swing. We climb trees. We touch things. We have little the festivals. The is such a good word. You can hardly misspell it. It hardly ever fails you. Mississippi was hard for me when I was in Nebraska. Nebraska even was hard because they turned it around and spelled it Exarban. I didn't even know how to spell it front ways, let alone backwards. But the, I like the. I learned how to spell the. I don't recall it. I never knew how. I like the. Such a nice word. It goes with everything. Goes with the ceiling, the floor, the rock, the sand. It's a very generous word. It's not very fussy. It's kind of like a towel. You don't think I just put a word inside a towel for nothing. I know what I'm doing. Other people don't know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing. But that's the way it is with you. Same way. I'm trying to give you a little heart or spleen. I had 6 bypass surgeries, so I don't use the word heart so much. I use spleen and duodenum. Other words. You can't always use the word heart. It's just too much traffic. I mean, why should heart be bearing all the traffic? I give the tonsils a whirl next Valentine's Day. Do a tonsil poem. Thank you for your joy. So I like the word the. It was so popular here at Holden, as I said, that we celebrated the-ness. It's like an usher that says hello to everybody. It ushers in every paragraph, any sentence, any phrase. The is really kind of a messianic, it's a servant word. You could get a little fancy, and you could even say it's like deacon, diaconate. It's a diaconate word. And not long ago, I wore this Polish towel in Poland. When we came into a church for supper, there were 47 women and I from America. We came to a Polish choir, a country choir, and they said, come to supper. So we're really hungry. We had just come from Krakow, and we, at the end of a wonderful long day, we had had kind of a shopping spree. And we bought lots of things, and I bought a Polish towel because I've never had a Polish towel. And I like towels. I like towels. And we got off the bus, and I was just ready for food, and then we started on this long walk about a half mile into the woods. And there the choir of 27 were all present with their families in an open space at the edge of a cornfield. And they had towels out there, and they had rugs and carpets, and we sat there and kind of looked at each other. We looked at them in American, and they looked at us in Polish. We just looked at each other. And there was this marvelous thing called silence. Songs have been written about it. Silent night, holy night, all those. When we sat in the middle of the silence, and if you have it in a certain way and you look at it in a certain way, silence turns to awe. It was awesome. And there were fire pits, and we suddenly realized that we were going to eat like Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. We saw these huge tubs, these vats, and then huge crates of eggs and large loaves of bread. I got the idea, you know, you don't have to scout around very long to realize that that's what you're going to eat and that's where it is. Our supper was going to be in the woods. And I saw this choir music all piled up, and they were going to sing for us out there under the sky in Poland. I didn't know that's how they did it in Poland. I've been there, but no one ever did it that way. They're just so inconsistent. Everything is original. So we kind of sat there in our American silence, and luckily I had this Polish towel, because I don't like to go unprepared. We did it with a deck of words or something. So I went like this, and they all smiled. And then they all started to move. And they showed me where the eggs were, and I started to crack the eggs, and without a bulletin or anything, people knew what to do. Started to break eggs. And you know, in Poland they break eggs the same way we do. Same way. And they stoke the fire the same way we do. And we found out that most of what we had to do, we already knew how to do. So we began to do it together. And soon we were eating, you know, scrambled eggs on, it was Holden style, on slices of bread. It was marvelous. And the choir sang, and the man on whose cornfield we were sitting, and we ruined some of his corn, was so glad. I gave him a rock from the Pacific Ocean. Not a rock, a little stone, a little tiny one. He was so happy, he ran into his field and he gave me a Polish rock. It's up in our chalet. If you want to come and see it, we're in chalet 7. Maybe you've never seen a Polish rock or stone. I have a different one here. A woman gave me one. She said, if I keep this with me, it's good for my heart. So I've got it down here. So I like of. That's my other title, but I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight. I'm going to stay with the a while. See if I can find the. I just took this as it was marked. When you take it as it was marked, I mean, I don't know who marked it. That's called, oops, what's up? Oops, there it is. This is called, I am now on page Proverbs 2. You know that page? And it says here, for her house sinks down to death and her paths to the shades. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. You know what I just discovered? There's no of in there. Did you notice that? So I'll have to read on. I mean, you don't give up. You don't give up. There'll be one. There'll be one real soon. So, that's the next sentence. You will walk in the way of good. Of good people. That's good enough for me. You will walk in the way of good people. You know, there are people in Czechoslovakia, the Moravians, who also live in what is now Poland and East Germany, and I don't know where all the Moravians live. But Moravians could never get to Reno, where they could see what's up. You know, they couldn't roll in Reno, so they just would go like this. I'll take it. Oh Lord, my strong deliverer. That's enough for today. Then they would find one in the New Testament that would fit it. They'd find a hymn and a prayer, and they would have their lozung for the day. Lozung is lottery. One thing I think some of us have learned, maybe you are learning it too, at Holden Village, you learn to live with what's up. You learn to live with the oops. You learn to just open it and say, this is what I've got, this is how it is, this is who I am, and you go from there. I brought this old newspaper from 1986. I save old things because you never know if you need one. And it says, I just looked at it today, it said, children of such is the kingdom of God. There are two ofs in one sentence, but we're on the. We're still on God. That'll have to wait. Play me a song and I'll tell you a story. Read a song to you, and I want to have you sing it. We'll sing it all, so we can all sing it. We'll sing it as a monotone. Can we do that? Okay, and I got my clue when he hit that. Did you see him close it? I just heard him close it, and then I saw her, and her eyes. She said, you know, I'm blind. That's what she said. That's all I remember. It was in a home for aging, in a nursing home, and she said, you know, I'm blind. So I went home and wrote about it. But first I sat with her and talked about, I got into what she meant, and she said, you know, I can't see. And I said, how does it feel? She says, I feel like I'm inside a little room. I said, who goes in this little room with you? Oh, she said, nobody goes in this room with me anymore, but they used to. I said, who went in this room? Well, she said, we had a vicar. He would come in, he'd go in my little room with me. But she said, he left. I think he went back to the seminary. But my pastor, he doesn't know how to go in my room. And I said, what is the name of your room? She said, I'm blind. So I wrote a poem. Just really just for her and for me. And I think for you. But I just stayed with, I'm blind, in this little room. Like one could get into the word da and get into the whole diaconate program of the church. One could stay with the word da and think of all the people who introduced you to important segments of the faith. Because da is an introducing word. So I wrote this to her. But I didn't give it to her. She heard that I had written it. And one day we were in the same building and she heard my voice. And she said, is that you? Well, I thought it was me. So I said, it is I. And she said, I would like the poem. So I will sing it with you. And I will just say the words and then you will sing it on the pitch. And then you can harmonize off of that too, okay? I sit inside my little house. I sit inside my little house. And then you can hold of 87 years.
Of 87 years.
And number blessings one by one.
And number blessings one by one.
Which cancel out my fears.
Which cancel out my fears.
I sit inside my little house.
I sit inside my little house.
With wrinkles on my face.
With wrinkles on my face.
And number all the love inside.
And number all the love inside.
Of someone's dear embrace.
Of someone's dear embrace.
You can go any of those notes you want to in the future. Hands is right. Okay. I sit inside my little house.
I sit inside my little house.
The trees and people dim.
The trees and people dim.
And number blessings one by one.
And number blessings one by one.
Till I can see within.
Till I can see within.
I sit inside my little house.
I sit inside.
Change around, which I have known for years.
Which I have known for years.
It is myself I sit inside.
It is myself I sit inside.
And wish for healing tears.
And wish for healing tears.
That's so nice. It's so nice to just take a tiny thing like God. Have a whole day with it. Or take an and when someone has just finished and they're just leaving, you say, and. I remember in California, I don't know, a few years ago, maybe 15, there was a kid and he and I were in the camp toilet. And it was about 6 in the morning. We wanted to get there before the crowd. You know how Bible camps can be. Get there before the crowd. And I said to this boy, about 12 years old, 15, I don't know, you can't really tell. I said, how was it that you began? Oh, that's a strange question at 6 in the morning. And he began to tell about his life and how he began in Southern California. And he talked about his mother. And he talked about his origin. And that, by the way, that whole weekend had a very special title. It was 5 days with youth on the subject of the Nicene Creed. I think it was a dare. I really think they wanted me to babysit the youth of Southern California with the subject, the Nicene Creed. So we took a day and a half to find a theme. They liked that. Nicene Creed didn't appeal to them. Until I told them the story about all the camels and all the donkeys coming to Nicaea, and they were going to have a meeting, and they were going to decide if they could discuss this Jesus being divine. And then we looked at the minutes of that meeting. You know, we looked at the minutes, and they found that there was a very important word in the minutes. Now they liked the idea that it could give them the picture, because, you know, they're not looking for words, they're looking for an image. Everyone's looking for a picture. When you're looking for a faith, you're looking for pictures. They were looking for a picture of closeness to God. If Jesus was divine, then they wanted to see this closeness to God. And some said, I think it's the word with. Then I said, we'll stay with prepositions. We'll stay with prepositions. Then some said, I think it's for. Some said, I think it's from. And soon all said, I think it's of. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And they all voted that the theme for the week would be of. That what they were looking for was Jesus' ofness. And then some of them got excited about that they were not their mothers, but that they were of their mother. That they were of their mother, but they still weren't their mother, but of her. And they all pointed to their belly buttons to prove it. So we had signs of ofness. And then someone discovered the word begat. And they all fell in love with the begat, and we had to hold on to the word of, because I thought it was going to be flipped for begat. But we stayed with the word of. It was a marvelous word, that word of. And now, 6 o'clock in the morning, this kid and I are together, and I said, where did it all begin? And he describes his whole life. And it was not a very pleasant life. He talked about a filling station, he talked about dope, he talked about prostitute, talked about his mother. And he said, so you see, he said, that's how my life began. And I thought, now what he needs to do is what all textbooks do. He needs to title it. It's called Bottom Line. I said to the boy, so what do you call this? He said, I think I call it Original Sin. I was amazed that he could see a filling station, a prostitute, his street, dope, and all of that as a picture of he originated in that. And that's how he saw Original Sin, as a social environment even, not just Adam and Eve in Genesis 1. And then he left, and I said, semicolon. And he came right back in. They knew punctuation by then. Semicolon man. And he came back in, and I said, Jesus had been born. A mighty fortress is our God had been invented. I named a few other things that attracted him a little more. And he began to add to the list. And we made a marvelous list. By 6:15 in the morning, we had a marvelous list, a marvelous picture. And I said, and what do you title it? He said, I call it Original Grace. I never heard of the word. I never heard of that phrase. But isn't it a wonderful phrase? And if it isn't true, isn't it good to think of it for 7 years? That as there is original sin, there is also the original grace. Now he had the two ends of the teeter-totter. For me. And I found with this young friend the teeter-totter of sin and grace. Original sin, original grace. One more song, then I'm going to tell a story, and then I'm going to ask you a question, and we're going to leave. Okay? It's nice to have Chris here. Polish towel.
Yeah.
Pardon? You have Polish background. He has Polish background. If I didn't like this towel so much, I'd give it to you. It's yours for a while. You don't have music lessons, as I haven't had. You can do anything you want to with this music, because you can. So I'm hearing him do all this, and I'm watching my chicken over here from the side. That's called side glancing. Side glancing is called peeking. That's how we fall in love. You don't fall in love by staring at somebody. You go like that. You just kind of look from the side. And that's kind of how we fall in love with a lot of things, just kind of getting the whole shape of it, the color of it, but you don't stare it in the eyes. Not right away. And then later either. We don't even do that with God. Moses begged that he wouldn't have to. So I saw these chickens, birds, eating. And that took me somewhere. You know what all these things are that I see? They're called mental images. I have them. It's not a disease. It's a treasure we have inside us. It's faster than film. And sometimes more a delight than stained glass windows. It's all these pictures that people don't ask you to show because they don't know that you like to see, they think you like to think. And you'd have more to say if you talked about what you saw, because when you say what you think, you sometimes argue and fight. But when you say what you see, no one can deny it because you're in your gallery. And who can say that you don't see it? So I see all these little birds eating in Eisenach, the town of Johann Sebastian Bach, being played by this Polish musician at my left named Eric, the Great. Who is peeking at me. Called Polish peeking. And I'm talking about chickens pecking, and peeking and pecking are very close, and if you weren't careful, you could misspell one of them. And her name is Marie Louise, and she's a sister in a mother house right at the bottom of the Wartburg Castle is on the hill, and down here is the diaconate home, and Marie Louise, when we come, we often commune. And so she had this bread and this is all I have left of it. I had blue cloth. And she had this bread and this blue cloth. May I borrow this? You like it a whole lot right now. She had this bread and this blue cloth. And when the communion was not over, but when we had eaten, because I don't think they get over that quickly. But when we had eaten, and there were all these crumbs. I didn't know what to do with them. She had no problem. She just took these crumbs just carefully as though she was a senior pastor. And she went right to the door as though she had gotten good grades in liturgics. And she just went like this. And she said to the birds, who hadn't even come yet, all that space between her and the birds, and she said
to us and to God as though the birds and God and we could all hear it. When you commune, the universe comes. I wished I had said it. At least I was glad I heard it. When you commune, the universe comes. And then we gave her this cloth because she said so profound a word. And when we saw her next time, she was wearing it. It was an apron. And all the deaconesses had met, those 95 and those 15. And they had decided that it should become an apron. And then she said one more word. Because just like the boy, you know, in Southern California, she knows that when something happens, you have to give it a name or you lose it. If you wouldn't name a child, it'd probably run away. And if you wouldn't name a story, you'd probably not be able to tell it very much anymore. And she gave it she said, alles muss Gott dienen. Everything must serve God. I wondered how she knew all that. And I wonder how much you know. And I wonder how much they wonder, how much you wonder, how much you know. Don't you wonder? You wonder, especially when your mind wanders. And that's wonderful. So when we come together once in a while, we will wonder. We will wonder. I want to sing with you again. Amen. Amen. Whisper real softly. Yes, yes. As a postlude, we were in Ballard. Lois and I were in Ballard. I am her brokering. Lois brokering is, are you sewing or knitting? Embroidering. I never remember what she's doing like that, but she's embroidering. We were in Ballard, and it was my privilege to go to the hospital with a pastor and to visit someone. And I watched us leave her. I watched her watch us leave her. It was just a movie. I don't want to forget it. And I think one way for me not to forget it is to tell you that when we left her, she waved and she peeked. Her eyes went smaller and smaller so she could let us go. Isn't that wonderful? What an artist. Do you realize how many theater lessons she would have to take to learn how to do that? She just peeked until she just let us slide away. Yeah. It was so tiny a thing. I'm glad I told you, because I might forget it in a week. And then you could talk about the woman who peeked in Ballard and let us go. Okay? I think that bell is peeking into the next session. Thank you.